It is so good to be here.
Amen.
And to look out and see all of these faces here on this Lord's Day morning.
Amen.
I'm thankful to be able to stand before you, but I'm saddened by the circumstances that that's the case, that Stanley's away and his sister has passed away and he needed to go to Oklahoma and deal with the situation there. But we recognize that death is a part of life. And in some form, even while we live, we will have to deal with death. But for sure, we'll be dealing with our own. Maybe sooner than you think.
Amen.
Just this morning, I saw on the internet that Jose Fernandez, which is a pitcher for the Miami Marlins, 24 years old, was killed in a boating accident.
Wow.
And certainly, when he went out that day to enjoy himself, he didn't think that he wouldn't be coming back alive. So, you know, these things happen all the time. They give us pause, don't they? They should. Should cause us to try to think about who we are, what our purpose is, where we're going. And these are things that we should think about. These are things that are important. The lesson I've chosen this morning will be taken from 1 Samuel chapter 15, and the subject matter is obedience. And you can see that on the board, that Samuel taught to King Saul that obedience is better than sacrifice. And what I'd like is for us to understand what the prophet meant when he told that to Saul.
Amen.
Now, as you recall, Israel, really against God's desires, desired to have a king like the other nations had.
Right.
They wanted to be like other people.
Right.
So God gave them a king. And King Saul was the first king of Israel. And it seems that King Saul had a problem that I fear many of us have. And his problem was obedience.
Yeah.
Chapter 13 of 1 Samuel, Saul's army was at war with the Philistines. And the Israelites appeared to be outmatched, because you know what? They were.
Yeah.
They were outmatched. So Saul panicked, as we tend to do, don't we? When we see a situation that seems to be beyond what we can handle, we panic. Now, never mind that God should be in the picture for Saul. He should have been in the picture for us. He should always be in the picture. But Saul panicked. And so, against the commandment of God, he offered a sacrifice. Now, he figured this was desperation, right? That in a desperate time, that it was okay for him to offer a sacrifice that really God said only the priest could offer.
Right.
And Saul was disobedient. He was disobedient in that he went beyond what God wanted him to do. And then here in chapter 15, if you're there, Saul failed to obey the Lord again. And verses 1 through 9, he was instructed by God to completely destroy the Amalekites. That was God's command. Now, there was no doubt that God's command was clear. This wasn't complicated. He knew what God told him to do. Let's read verse 3 here. God said, "Go and strike Amalek and utterly destroy all that he has, and do not spare him. Put to death both man and woman, child and infant, ox, sheep, camel, and donkey." Now, another subject worthy of discussion is what seems to be the harshness of this command. But nevertheless, it was the command of God, and Saul's was not to question it, but to obey it. So he started out, like many of us do, he started out doing as God commanded him to do. In fact, verse 7 tells us that Saul defeated the Amalekites. In reality, it was God that defeated them, but we'll get to that. But that was as far as Saul went with his obedience. Rather than kill King Agag, Agag, as he was instructed to do, Saul captured the king alive. And he brought him back, and along with him, he brought the best of the livestock in Agag's kingdom. Now, beginning with verse 13, we find the prophet Samuel's rebuke to Saul. You see, on his way home now, Saul stopped at Mount Carmel, and he built a monument, right, to himself. Now, you know, for the victory, right? Well, how did he achieve that victory? He panicked, but he felt that a monument to himself was in order, not a monument to God, which God didn't tell him to do at all. And so he built this monument, which in and of itself seems a bit presumptuous to me. And it is, though, indicative of Saul's heart. And that's what I want us to think about today, our own hearts. What is the condition of our heart? But Samuel rebukes Saul, asking, why? Why have you disobeyed God? Now notice Saul's response in verse 21. He says, the people took. You know, leaders are like that sometimes. When they get caught dealing in things they shouldn't be dealing with or doing things that they shouldn't do, they point the finger at other people. But he was the king. And he says, the people took home all these animals. Now, he didn't say that he was okay with it, right? But they took home all of these animals. Who was in charge? Who was the king? Who decided what the people did?
Saul,
exactly. He was responsible for this. And, you know, he figured that, it says here that we'll have a giant victory celebration and sacrifice all these animals to God for giving the victory. That sounds great to me. Have a party and sacrifice these animals to God.
But it cost him,
all right. He was the king, and it cost him his obedience, right? He was disobedient. His idea of sacrificing the animals was not what God told him to do. You see, Saul thought that his ideas were better than simply obeying God. Now, it's easy for us to be hard on King Saul, but I fear sometimes we do the same thing. Then we hear Samuel's reply in verse 22, and this is kind of the crux of the matter here. He heard what Saul said about sacrificing these animals to God, and he said to Saul, to obey God is better than sacrifice. And I wanted to bring this lesson this morning because we've talked a lot, and we should, about sacrifice, about personal sacrifice and sacrificing to God and making sacrifices to one another, giving up things in our lives. And I am not trying to discount the how valuable that is. That is absolutely a part of being a Christian. But sacrifice is not a more important than obeying God, and that's the point. Even though Saul confessed his sin, his disobedience was punished by God taking the kingship away from him and giving it to David. Right. Now, the lesson for us is simple. God demands even complete obedience. And a failure to do so always brings about problems in our relationship with God and problems in our lives. In John 8:32, Jesus says, we know the truth, and the truth makes us free. And John 17:17, sanctify them by truth, thy word is truth. So obedience of God's truth is the purifying, sanctifying agent in our lives. There's nothing that will substitute for doing what God has commanded us to do. This fits with 1 John 1, verse 7. If I walk in the light of His truth, we are continually, if we walk in the light of His truth, we are continually forgiven by the blood of Jesus. Now that's a big if, isn't it? Continually walking in the light of His truth. Indeed, as we obey truth, we are sanctified. We're set apart from the world by our obedience to the truth. Some definitions. We need to understand for sure what obedience is.
Right.
Now let's look. Obedience is hearing and responding to the commands of one in authority. Now, the same thing that Saul tried to do here in his answer to Samuel, I tried to do as a kid with my father.
Uh-huh.
Right? When I disobeyed my father and I got caught, my finger went to my brother, okay? It was his idea, right? And you know what? That got me just about as far as Saul got with his excuse. My father knew. He knew who he told. He told both of us. He knew I understood. And you can't put the blame on another for your decisions. Obedience is being submissive to the command, control, or restraint of another. If you've been in the military, you understand that for sure.
Right.
If you haven't been in the military, you need to understand that anyway. At some point, I'm speaking, brother, okay? At some point, we need to understand that we need to be controlled and restrained by another.
Right.
You're going to have a boss. You can't always do what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Obedience is to follow the guidance of another. Church, it's important that we learn what God wants from us.
Amen.
In regard to obedience, so that like Saul, we will never have to suffer the devastating results of disobedience to God. And it is devastating. Saul lost his kingship. We can lose our souls.
Right.
Our souls lie in balance. So we can learn about obedience from King Saul. And that's what we need to do. We need to pay attention to the lesson here. Now, point number one. We learn that obedience is commanded by God.
Right.
It's not a choice that we're free to make. Obviously, we're beings of choice. But obeying God, if you want the promises of God, you must obey Him. That's it. The reason God gave for rejecting Saul as king is found in verse 11. I regret that I made Saul king. You know, have you ever thought about God regretting that you're His child? I wouldn't want to be in that position. That He regrets that I am calling Him Father and that I am representing Him. That's where Saul stood, though. He regretted that he had made Paul king, for he has turned back from following me and has not carried out my commands. So simply put, disobedience is not carrying out God's commands. Not following Him. We're Christians. That means followers of Christ. Church, we cannot say we have accepted Jesus as our Savior unless we are obedient to Him and His commands. It comes with that. The New Testament is very clear on why we should be obedient to God's commands. Now first, and we know this, first we must be obedient in order to receive the promised reward. I want to go to heaven. I know you want to go to heaven. That's the promised reward. Hebrews 5:9 tells us that Jesus is the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him.
Amen.
None others. That's what it says. The obedient. So the reward for obeying Jesus is forgiveness of sins and eternal salvation. Now the second part of that, and we need to be mindful of this as well, is we must obey to avoid the penalty for disobedience.
Yes.
Those are the two choices. Mankind has forever tried to find a third choice. There is none. Obedience or disobedience, reaping the reward of obedience or being punished for disobedience. 2 Thessalonians 1:8-9 says that those who obey the gospel of Christ will pay the penalty of eternal destruction, and this will happen when Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his mighty angels. He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from his power. You know, now that's not popular preaching today, but we need to know that. And I don't like to dwell on that. I like to dwell on the fact that we will reap the rewards if we obey him. But the fact is, we'll be punished if we won't, if we don't, and we need to continually be mindful of that as well. Both things are motivating factors in serving God. We must know that in every situation we face, whether it be a question of salvation, whether it be a religious practice, or how to conduct ourselves in everyday life,
Amen.
We are obligated to obey the word of the Lord, to submit to his divine authority. If we want to avoid the penalty for disobedience and received the promised reward.
Amen.
Point two, we learn that obedience must be complete. Some of the things Saul did were precisely what God commanded him to do. He was told to defeat the Amalekites, and he did. He was instructed to put the Amalekites to death, and he did most of them, right? Most of them. He was instructed commanded to destroy all the spoils of the war, and he did, except the good stuff, right? And today we would say Saul was obedient most of the time, and I think that's accurate. And disobedient part of the time. And that's the way we think. We seem to think that if we're obedient to God more than we're disobedient, it's all going to balance out and we're going to be okay.
No.
Well, how did that work out for Saul? Not too well, did it?
No.
We seem to think that we're okay if our obedience balances the scales just in the direction that we want it to, but that's not so. It was not God's assessment either, was it?
No,
God concluded that Saul had turned from him. Well, we just said Saul was obedient most of the time. And it was the most was the problem. And God determined that that most didn't get him anything. He was disobedient is what God says. And we cannot pick and choose, see, which of God's commands we like and which commands that we don't like, which we want to follow and which we don't want to follow. We can't do that and call that obedience. Well, we can and we do, but God calls it disobedience. So it really doesn't matter what we call it. From God's perspective, obedience must be complete or it's not obedience at all. So we conclude that true obedience is hearing and keeping all of God's commands.
Amen.
Point number three. Our obedience must be measured by God's standard. It is possible, I think it's more than possible, it's likely that even some of us believe that we're being obedient. Believe in our hearts that we're doing right, and we're not. This appears to have been true with Paul, or Saul. Saul's problem, was that he thought he was okay.
Yeah.
Compared to doing nothing, Saul did pretty well. Compared to the Amalekites, he was God's man, wasn't he?
Yes.
God chose him. However, we must measure our obedience to God's standard, not our own. Now think about it. If we measured our obedience by our own standard, we'd all be okay, wouldn't we?
Yeah.
When I mess up, it's okay, I'll cut myself some slack. Right? Don't we do that?
Yeah.
It's not the same as when you mess up. You ought to know better. But I have good reasons, right? However, we must measure our obedience by his standard. Solomon wrote, "There is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." Proverbs 14:12. We need help. We need God's help. You see, once we start deciding, once I start deciding and you start deciding on things on your own, things like how to be saved, how to worship God, how the church should be organized, once we start deciding that, then we fail in disobedience.
Right.
Just look around at what men have decided is obedience to God and compare it to what his word reveals.
Amen.
The only standard for obedience to God is his standard, his word. And we have that. Point four. Obedience now is a personal responsibility. Emphasis on personal. Saul tried to blame his sins on others. We do that all the time, don't we?
Yeah.
I obeyed, he tells God, but the people took some of the spoil.
Right.
You know, he never does, though, now notice this, he never does mention King Agag that he took back alive. That isn't mentioned in the equation here. But he did, and that was disobedient too, wasn't it?
Yes.
Sin is a choice. It's a choice on our part to think and behave in a way that's inconsistent with God's standard. Samuel told Saul that he had to take personal responsibility for his own choices. And so do we.
Amen.
Where are you at in your life? Now, I don't know you, but I'm going to tell you something, that wherever you're at has a whole lot to do with the choices you've made. I know circumstances have something to do with it. But when we put God first, when we obey his commands first, the circumstances will never destroy us. The circumstances will never harm us. They might kill us, and I'm being serious here. They might kill us, and sometimes circumstances do, but that won't matter because we'll be God's.
Amen.
Circumstances won't beat us. Scripture tells us that obedience is a learned trait.
Amen.
And we talked this morning in class about the natural man. And I'm going to tell you something. The natural way of a man is not to be obedient.
Right.
Nobody tells me what to do. Have you ever heard that? Have you ever said that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I make my own decision. That's the natural man talking. That's the way the world lives. Nobody's ideas or opinions or standards are above mine. I make my own decisions.
Isn't that the fool talking right there?
This is not a discussion. This is a sermon, sir. Okay. Scripture tells us that obedience is a learned trait. The Hebrews writer says, although Jesus was a son, he what?
He learned
obedience from the things which he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation, Hebrews 5:8. Obedience can be learned. Obedience must be learned. Point number five. Obedience is better than good intentions.
Amen.
We all have good intentions, don't we? At least we think they're good. Twice this in this chapter, Saul claimed that the best of the sheep and oxen were to be spared to be brought back for sacrifice to God. Sounds like a good thought. I know God didn't say it, but I think this would be good. Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. If God didn't say it, it's not good. It's your idea of a way to improve upon what God has instructed. He was not going to offer anything but the best as a sacrifice to God. He didn't bring back the stuff that wasn't any good. He brought back the best.
Amen.
He had good intentions, perhaps. We don't really know. You know, that's what he said. But bringing back the best, there'd be the temptation to keep it, wouldn't there?
Yeah.
The temptation would be there. Samuel asked, Has the Lord as much delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. You understand this now, don't you?
Yeah.
Sacrifice has its place, but it must be within the realm of obedience.
Yeah.
You know, sacrifice is a part of being a Christian, but obedience is being a Christian, isn't it? Pure and simple, obedience is better than the best of intentions. Genuine obedience flows from a humble heart. And this was Saul's problem. Think about it. This generally is the problem of all of us when we run into problems. It's a heart problem. Under the law of Moses, dealing with sin was through animal sacrifices. But the heart condition behind the sacrifice, even in the Old Testament, was of utmost importance. It wasn't just about the blood sacrifice. We're learning here that the condition of Saul's heart was important. You see, King Saul had a heart problem. He had a self-serving, prideful heart. On his way home, he stopped at Mount Carmel to build a monument to himself. You gotta be bold, don't you? Who delivered him? God did.
Amen.
Correct? Yes, God delivered him. But he built the monument not to God, which again, God didn't say to build even God a monument, but he built it to himself. We must know that pride always gets in the way of genuine obedience. Boy, human beings are prideful. We just are, aren't we? And it gets in our way to obedience to God. The truth is, we will never be obedient before God until we humble ourselves before Him.
Amen.
My final point, a lesson will be yours. Obedience is an urgent matter. It is, it's urgent.
Amen.
You know what urgent is, right?
Yes.
You cut your finger off, and it's laying on the ground there, and you pick it up. Where are you going? You're going to the emergency room to see if you can get it put back on and possibly say, that's urgent, isn't it? You don't have time to be, going in and making yourself a sandwich and watching the football game, and then later on you'll go out there and get that finger. It's going to be too late. It's going to be too late. Obedience is like that, isn't it? Obedience to God is something we have to do right now.
Amen.
Or we may end up like you would if you follow. You may end up spiritually without a finger,
yeah.
Missing a part. When Saul finally realized the seriousness of his sin, he confessed his disobedience in verse 24. It says, I have sinned. I have indeed transgressed the command of the Lord and your words, because I feared the people and listened to their voice. Now, even in this confession, I question his sincerity. Because you see how he kind of still leans back. Yeah, I sinned, but the people, right? No, not the people. I sinned. The people, I feared the people. Yeah, I feared the people. And I listened to their voice, inferring that their voice is what led him. No, get off of it, Saul. Come on, you got a better confession than that, don't you? The truth finally spills out, though, at least in part. Saul had more fear for his own people than he did for God. We do too, don't we? We fear what men can do to us. And so we don't do sometimes what God tells us to do. His desire to please the people was greater than his desire to obey God. Is it possible that some of us fit into this same category? I think it's more than possible. You know, we're concerned about what others think. People say, oh, I don't care what anybody thinks. Yes, you do. Everybody cares what other people think. Now, that might not have anything to do with what you decide to do, but you still care. People want other people to think well of them. Don't we? Yes. Isn't that another natural thing? But we cannot allow that desire to have other people think well of us lead us to disobedience to God. Saul expressed a desire to receive forgiveness, didn't he?
Yes.
To go worship God. But what did Samuel tell him? Now listen to this. Samuel told him it was too late. I find that interesting. Saul had already had a chance, Samuel said, to be obedient more than once, and he chose to disobey. And so God decided it was time for Israel to have a new king, one that might be obedient to him. Church, Paul says today, not Saul, but Paul says today is the day of salvation.
Amen.
Now is the right time to obey God. I don't know when God's patience will run out for us. I just don't know that, but I know it will. I know that in the time of Noah, God said that he repented that he had made man, and he destroyed the earth by a flood. His patience ran out. And God's patience ran out with the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And we can see right here in our text this. His patience ran out for the Amalekites in our text. Peter tells us God is patient with us and not willing that any should perish, but it all should come to repentance. 2 Peter 3:9. He is patient, but his patience will run out. I don't know when, but like King Saul, we must not wait too long. It's urgent. We need to act now. Like Saul, there's going to come a time when it is too late. I mentioned at the beginning the baseball player that was killed. It's too late. Whatever he needed to do in this life, it's too late. Can't be done. And see, he didn't know that it was too late when he got up this morning. We don't know when it's going to be too late. After rebuking Saul, Samuel turns to leave, and we catch a glimpse of Saul's heart, his arrogant heart, rebellious heart, his hateful nature, his selfish heart. You see, brothers and sisters, Saul wasn't a good man. As Samuel turned to go, Saul grabbed his robe, tearing it from him. And Samuel said to Saul, "Just as you tore my robe, the Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you." Even though Saul confessed his sin, now I want you to listen to this, his heart was still not right with God. And I want you to understand that. Sometimes we think all we got to do is say that we sinned and everything is going to be all right, and we're encouraged to do that. But if your heart is still not right, it isn't okay. Just confession of sin that are just mere words mean nothing to God. God knows our hearts. And he knew that Saul's was not right. What a sad ending, isn't it, for Saul? For this man whom God had chosen to be Israel's first king. God chose him. But listen to me. God has chosen you too. He's chosen me. He's chosen us to be His. But we must be obedient. He doesn't cut us any slack when it comes to obedience because we're His. And we must do it now. Right now. Our text tells us that putting it off too long may result in the kingdom of God being torn from us forever. Even though we don't fully understand the reason behind God's commands always, and I don't understand why God chose water as a cleansing element in baptism, but I know that He did, that He chose to do it that way. I can understand some things about it, but I just accept it, that that's what God said. That's what God teaches us to do. And I don't question it. I don't need to understand it. Total obedience is the only valid, rational choice that we have. Nothing else makes any sense if you want to go to heaven.
That's right.
Now, if you just want to please men, then other choices make plenty of sense.
Yeah.
Don't it?
Amen.
Sure it does. But if you want to go to heaven, it's only obedience to God that will truly get us there. What do you need to do to be completely obedient to God this morning? Do you need to become a Christian? If you're not one, you do. You need to be obedient by repentance, baptism. Maybe we need to start, those of us who are already Christians, maybe we need to start doing some things we know that we should be doing that we're not. We've been leaving things undone in our lives, perhaps. It's urgent. See, that's disobedience, brothers and sisters. You say, well, I'll get to it later. Well, in the meantime, you're disobedient.
Mm-hmm.
It's urgent. Must happen now. Maybe we need to renounce some sin in our lives, like King Saul did, only with a pure heart. With a heart desires to be right with a God. I don't know what your spiritual condition is this morning at this particular time, but I know that you can leave here today a saved human being bound for heaven. And that's what my desire is for every one of us, that we leave here today in that condition, and then we work together with God's help and forgiveness to stay in that condition. Whatever your need is, if you just let it be known this day as we sing this song, God will help you.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling.